If you saw some of the newsreels of World War II, as you know, that was a war that just brought incredible death and destruction to a lot of humanity. It was estimated that 65 million people died during that war. That's just a huge number. And families and nations were shattered, and there was a lot of great evil that went on during that time. You know, as much as you don't want to fight a war, when you look at what was going on during World War II and what some people were doing to one another during that war, unfortunately, sometimes it has to be fought. It truly is the lesser of two evils. And I'm glad we're not speaking German or Japanese right now as well, so I feel good about that. You know, during that time, though, during this war, during this suffering, medical researchers intensified their efforts to fight disease and infection. Penicillin was discovered by Fleming in 1928, and it was deemed, even at that time, a medical phenomenon. But it wasn't developed because it was too costly. It wasn't developed until 1941. When the war was beginning. And it was up to that point, doctors still could not stop infection. In 1941, research went into the mass production of penicillin. And the cost of production after that point dropped from $20 a unit to $2 a unit. So it became a lot more affordable to produce on a mass scale. And they were off to the races. There were other antibiotics that were developed during that time as well. And Dr. Gary Nuskin observes, probably more than any other discovery in the history of medicine, antibiotics has done the most to improve people's lives. And again, part of what we struggle with today is the overuse of them and how to develop new ones to fight the strains of infection that are now resistant to those antibiotics. But that's for another day and another researcher to discover cures for that. I simply share this story with you to illustrate this one point. Great suffering can produce incredible hope. Great suffering can be the crucible out of which incredible hope is birthed. And if we're honest with ourselves, in the midst of that great suffering, the last thing that you and I are thinking about and the last thing that you and I are feeling is that word hope. Depending on the degree of suffering that you're going through and the pain that you're experiencing, the last thing on your mind is hope. And so it's an interesting thought, isn't it, that this great suffering of World War II produced an incredible antibiotic that went on to actually save the lives of many more millions of people over time. Great suffering produced great hope. So this brings me to our second lesson today in Romans. You know, as you read this at the beginning part of the lesson in your bulletin, Paul starts out really nice talking about being justified by faith, having peace with God through Jesus Christ, through whom we've obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of sharing the glory of God. Great words. I mean, that's a lot right there. That's, you could stop there and I'd be happy. But he goes on to share some things that seem almost crazy. What does he say here? And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings. Who boasts in their sufferings? I have met very few people like that. you know what? They might think, oh, you know, you think I'm a masochist. I really like to suffer. I really like to go through this pain and this struggle. Most of the people I meet who are going through those kinds of things aren't very happy. They aren't boasting about their sufferings. But Paul is onto something here, isn't he? And obviously, this is something I believe he's personally experienced. If you read his letters, a lot of them written from prison, he personally went through a lot of suffering and beatings and persecution himself. And so for him to say this, I just want to let you know, this guy has some street cred. This guy is saying it, and he's been through it, so we want to listen to what he has to say, because he's been through some intense suffering. He says, we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. It's an interesting succession of words that Paul shares. And I would submit to you that the reason why Paul writes this down is not because he thinks, oh, this would sound nice. I want to kind of combine these three words and kind of have this jingle that people will remember. But I believe he wrote this down because this is what he personally experienced in his own life. This is what he experienced. He experienced in his own journey that as he was going through great suffering, and as he came to God with that suffering, God was using that crucible of suffering, that fire of his life, to produce even greater things. Suffering can lead to great things. One of the first thing, the other things I want you to notice in this text is you'll notice it mentions all three members of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I don't think that's a coincidence either. I think what Paul is saying to us in this text under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he wrote it is that somehow, some way, the fullness of God is involved in our humanity and our life, and especially in the suffering of our life. That in the crucible of suffering that is uniquely yours, that you go through, God can use that to produce something beautiful and good and lasting. We rejoice in our suffering because first of all, suffering produces perseverance. What's perseverance? Perseverance is the ability to keep on going. To keep going. You know, for some of us, depending on what suffering you've been through lately, be honest with yourself, just to put your next foot in front of the other was a big step in the right direction. Instead of staying in bed all day and being depressed and being overcome and ending it all, being able to persevere and to keep on going is a huge thing. It's a huge thing. And so, again, that suffering produces perseverance. It's being able to keep on going no matter what. Now, the important thing to remember about perseverance is sometimes you don't feel like you have it. And let's be honest, sometimes you don't have it. You don't have it. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's where Paul is sharing with us, I'm sure in his own prayer life, you know what, I don't feel like I can keep going with this. Will you please give me the grace to do so? And I believe at those moments, God's Spirit gave him the grace to keep on going, even though he may not have felt like it, or even though he maybe was beaten within an inch of his life, which happened to him on a number of occasions. So in the midst of incredible pain, in the midst of incredible suffering, there was this inner resolve, there was this inner grace, there was this inner stamina to keep on going and not to give up. So one of the things I would suggest to you is that the next time you're going through suffering, or if you're going through it right now, I would encourage you to think about the word perseverance. Which again, depending on how much pain you're going through and suffering, that's probably not a word that's in your mind. I know for me the word is give up. Just give up. I've had enough. You know, start pouring out your anger toward God. You know, what's going on with you? Why are you treating me like this? You know, we all go through those kinds of things. And that's very human. It's very natural. But there is a birthing that can happen in the midst of the suffering, and the birthing is perseverance. And it says perseverance leads to character. And so what we find is that there is this progression for us as we're able to persevere through the suffering and the pain and the struggle that we want to give up on and in, that if we persevere and keep on going, there is a character that is birthed within us. There is an inner resolve and an integrity that is there that wasn't there before because you didn't give up. It's because you didn't give up. And as you because you didn't give up and because you kept on going, you're becoming a different person. you're becoming somebody new and different. It's kind of like climbing a mountain. And you know what? You got to finish the trip. You got to finish what you're doing. You don't want to, but you need to do it to get to the top. And you keep on going. And the person that climbed the mountain and finished that with an inner resolve, who persevered, will have a different character, will have a different integrity, will have a different amount of stamina than the person who first started climbing that mountain. Be a different person. And that's what Paul is getting at. Suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance can produce character. That integrity of being that begins to thrive, that begins to become and begin to connect with other people in the midst of your trial, in the midst of what you're suffering, what you're going through, there's a character that develops in you, an integrity that wasn't there before. That's why the most important things in life are never easy. You're not smiling. Because you know how true that is. The really important, valuable things in life are never easy. They never will be, because otherwise they really wouldn't be that valuable or important. They really wouldn't matter. You really wouldn't be willing to invest your life and your time and your energy into that or into them, because it doesn't really matter to you, because it doesn't have any value. But the things that really value and matter in your life, you're willing to invest yourself into, and that matters and that's important, and you become a different person as you continue on that journey. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Ah, that summit of the mountain that we all want to get to at the beginning. I wish I could go from suffering to hope. That'd be nice. But it doesn't work that way. And in fact, sometimes it takes a long time to get to hope, doesn't it? You know what? I'm thinking I might get there in a week or two. 5-6 years later, I'm still not there, right? We don't know how long the journey to hope's going to be. It's going to be a journey, though, and the promise is we will eventually get there to hope. And hope is simply this: God has your tomorrow. He has it. It's the belief that ultimately God has you in his hands. Romans 8:28. For God causes all things to work for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That is hope. That is a promise. Now you'll notice it doesn't say in Romans 8:28 that God causes all things. There is evil in the world. There is darkness. There are bad things that happen to people, wrong things that happen to people that have absolutely no justification. They're wrong, they're evil, they're sinful, and they're dark. But what it does say in that scripture is God causes all things, including that ugly stuff, ultimately to work for the good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So if you love God and you're seeking to follow his will and you're called according to his purpose, guess what? You can't lose, because he's going to cause it all to work for the good. And right now, as I'm sharing this with some of you, you're saying to yourself, if you just tell me out loud, Father Joe, I don't believe that. I think that's just a bunch of baloney. There's just no way God's going to cause this to work for good. But you know what? I can honestly say in my life, for the most part up to this point, there's still a couple things I'm waiting on. Depends whether God gives me what I want or I'm willing to accept what God wants to give me. You know what I'm saying? I can honestly say for the most part in my life and in the lives of other people I know on this journey, God truly does cause all things to work for the good. In the most amazing, incredible, I never would have thought of it in that kind of a way. I mean, isn't it true in your life as well? I look back on some things in my life and some events and some things that I really wanted that didn't open up for me for whatever reason, and some of the sufferings and the trials and the hardship and the pain that I went through in my life, and I, at the moment when I was going through it, I mean, I was angry. I was upset at God. I thought, God, what are you doing to me? You're ruining my life. But I look back on it now, Thank God. Thank God for helping me through that. Most of the stuff for me, it is that way. Some stuff I still have a question mark by, like you as well. But that is what hope is. God has your tomorrow. The believing, the trusting, the dreaming in Him and hoping that He has you and that the Holy Spirit has you as well. You know, a lot of times as we're in this journey of faith, as we're following God in the moment, it will not make any sense to you. But that's why it's called faith. If it made sense, it wouldn't require faith. That's why it's called faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Oh, there's that word hope again. The evidence of things not seen. So again, this journey that you and I are on is a constant invitation to hope that ultimately God has your tomorrow. Perfectly. And someday, it will make sense to you in God's time and in God's way and in God's healing grace. God bless you, Donna. All right. In closing, I want to share a story called The Dying Boy. The school system in a large city had a program to help children keep up with their schoolwork during stays in the city's hospitals. One day, a teacher who was assigned to the program received a routine call noting her visit to a particular child. She took the child's name and room number and talked briefly with the child's regular class teacher. "We're studying nouns and adverbs in this class now," the regular teacher said, "and I'd be grateful if you could help him understand them so he doesn't fall too far behind." The hospital program teacher went to see the boy that afternoon. No one had mentioned to her that the boy had been badly burned and was in great pain. Upset at the sight of the boy, she stammered as she told him, "I've been sent by your school to help you with nouns and adverbs." When she left, she felt she hadn't accomplished much at all. But the next day, a nurse asked her, "What did you do to that boy? What did you do with him?" The teacher said she must have done something wrong and began to apologize. "No, no," said the nurse, "you don't understand what I mean. We've been worried about that little boy. But ever since yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to treatment. It's as though he's decided to live." 2 weeks later, the boy explained that he had completely given up hope until the teacher arrived. Everything changed when he came to a simple realization, which he expressed in this way. "They wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy, would they?" And so he left, because he realized, in his own mind at least, that they sent the teacher to teach him nouns and adverbs because he was going to live. God's love has been poured into our hearts. And beloved, pray for me as I pray for you that God would give us the grace to begin to see suffering in a different way. I'll be honest, I'm like you. When I see suffering even from a few feet away, I run the other direction. If I see it coming, I try to go the opposite way. I'm just like you. But we need to begin to embrace the reality that God can use that crucible in a transforming way in our life, that suffering can produce perseverance. Perseverance can produce character, and character can produce the virtue of hope. A hope that is real. A hope that changes lives and empowers us in ways that you and I can't even begin to imagine.